This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
What We Spend is a new podcast that explores something we almost never talk about. Every week, you'll hear a different guest share everything they spend their money on. What We Spend is available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
The most amazing thing about this is that you don't know. You don't. I could say what I say. You could say what you say. You know, we could see things. We could think things. We could piece together things. And then something wacky can happen tonight. And, you know, an unexpected hero emerges or, you know, I don't know. The Knicks just outplay the Celtics. Celtics a little rusty. Or somebody tweaks an ankle and the entire complexion of the series could change. And I'll give you an example. Now, the disparity between talent last year with the Pacers and the Knicks wasn't as great as it is between the Celtics and the Knicks, meaning the Pacers were closer to the Knicks than the Knicks are to the Celtics. But what happened? Hamstrings started getting shredded. You know, Brunson hobbled. You know, Mitchell Robinson not coming back. Everybody knocked down. You just don't know. That's why you show up. And I do think that the mindset, number one, the Knicks, I do think they're a tough group mentally. I'm not sure about Cat yet, to be honest with you. But I think as a group, I do think that they're pretty locked in. They're in tune with what their coach wants, what their coach demands, and they try their best to do it. You know, I mean, Hart's an energy guy. Brunson plays with integrity. So does OG. Bridges is quiet, but I think he plays hard. And I think he showed some signs the other day, whether it was that lefty dunk in traffic or the tip-in from the weak side or even the couple of threes in Detroit when they were down by 11, you know, late, and he cut it to 8 and he had another big three late. Like, Bridges has started to acquit himself, I think, better than some of you think. But I don't sit down tonight expecting to win. And that's okay. I'm not going to lie to you. I'm not going to just conjure up some fake enthusiasm. I'm pumped that the Knicks are still playing basketball. They better still be playing basketball. Otherwise, it would have been holy hell. Like, if they lost this series, that would have been it. That would have had to have been it for Tom Thibodeau. Yeah, and the caller brought something up. We'll get back to the calls here. But it is, like he said, a paraphrase. I hope it's a competitive series. Like, he doesn't think the Knicks are going to win. I don't know really anybody that's rooted in objectivity that does really think the Knicks are going to win. But he wants them to win, but he doesn't expect them to be even really competitive. And if they're not going to win, and it's not going to be an incredibly deep and competitive series, then, again, this is the caller, you know, why not just get smoked? Because if you get smoked, it sends a direct message to ownership and the executives that this is not good enough, and you've got to do something else this summer, which, by the way, is what I believe. Now, I'm not going to get on the air and say that I hope that they get smoked. I'm going to get on the air and say I hope that I'm wrong and hope that they can stun me and stun most of us and actually win the series and get to the Eastern Conference Finals. But no matter what, like when they lose this series, then even if it's in six and it's fairly competitive, or if one, they win one at the Garden and they lose like a tight one and it's five, but it's not awful. No matter what, they're going to have to do stuff this summer. So it's kind of an odd space to be in, especially when you're supposed to be in championship mode. All right, 888-808-1019. Hey, if you guys want to jump in on the Lombard stuff as well, a little bit early for that, but I did bring it up and it's something to watch if you missed it. He was elevated to double A. He just crushed high A. Yankees have a lot of issues. They averted disaster with Volpe, it seems. But they've got a lot of issues in places where now that he's going to double A, if he shows early crushage, you know, and he's getting after it, I don't think it's off the table that the Yankees would actually give him a look in the bigs this year. I'll get to the Mets in a minute about the weekend in St. Louis. Marvin's in Englewood. What's up, Marv? Marvin. All right, Marvin dropped. How about Vince up in Poughkeepsie, Vince?
Hey, how you doing? Thanks for taking the call.
All right.
So I know it's, you can't do this right now, but I'd like it one time. Break down all the coaches that have coached the Knicks since they last won a championship. Because only one coach won championship, Red Holtzman. They've had 25 coaches since then get fired. So if you think a coach is going to magically bring this team to a championship, it's not going to happen. I don't care who you have.
Yeah, but hold on. Now, Vince, hold on. Let's talk about this. Okay. I don't think he's going to magically bring them to a championship. I didn't expect him to bring them to a championship last year. I said that. Now, I do think they would have been in the conference finals if they didn't get hurt. And yeah. Matter of fact, hold on, Vince, and Sal's not here, so he can't back me up on this, but you guys who listen to the show, when the Knicks got knocked out after that Game 7 at home against the Pacers, I started the show, I was standing in studio, and I was applauding, I was clapping for the Knicks. So it's not an unrealistic expectation that I have of Tom Thibodeau. I just don't think he's a championship coach. Now, why do I say that?
Wait. You think Joe Mazzulla is a championship coach?
Did he win a championship, Vince?
I know. So you think Steve? Yeah, I know. So wait. So you're telling me let's switch coaches. Let's put Mazzulla on the Knicks, and we'll put Tibbs on the Celtics. He's not. You're going to tell me that Tibbs is not winning an NBA championship with the Boston Celtics the way they are?
Number one, you're I can't answer that. No, hold on.
I'm asking you, Hyper. Do you think he would win?
I don't.
He was coaching.
No.
Really?
No.
What do you play basketball? The guys are playing on the court. I mean, the players love playing for this guy. I don't get it. I don't understand why he's such a bad coach. He's been coaching here twice. They've won 50 games twice in a row.
Yep.
They're in the playoffs almost every year.
So Vince, you're one of these guys. And listen, there's nothing wrong with being this guy. But you are this guy. You're okay with second place trophies. Everybody gets
no, I'm not a realist. They haven't won since 73, man. It's not going to happen. Like, it doesn't happen that quick. Why haven't they won? You're telling me because of coaches' fault? All those coaches, that's why they haven't won.
No, Vince, hold on. But, Vince, you can't compare, dude, the roster that Fizdale had or the roster that McLeod had. Come on.
Exactly. It's the roster. It's not the coach.
But the roster's better now.
I know, but they're not. They're better, but they're no compared to Boston. They're lucky if they win one game against Boston.
Okay, hold on a second. Vince, hold on. If Jeff Van Gundy's coaching this team, you don't think we feel better about this? I do.
No, why?
Because he's a better coach.
He's not going to hit that three.
He's a better coach.
Better coach? What are you talking about? He's putting is he better at putting players in that you want to play?
Yes.
Precious should have played.
Yes.
That's it. So it's all about playing players. Because the only coach that lost the Knicks a championship is their best one, Pat Riley. Because in Game 7, he left Starks.
I've gotten on him for that. I got you. Do I think that Tom Thibodeau is good? Vince, you got to hear me on this. Yes.
Right.
I think he's really good. I don't think he's great.
So who are you going to get? Who are you going to get that's magically going to bring them to the championship?
Well, I don't know. How about the guy that won the championship 2 years who's from Queens, Mike Malone? How about that guy? I don't even want to really do this today. You brought me into that, and that's okay. Got no problem going back and forth. I'm not going to turn this into the higher Mike Malone show or the Mike Malone bit. But I do think that you are overstating, respectfully. You know, I have no problem doing this. I love this stuff. It's what sports radio is about. But I think that you are overstating Tom Thibodeau. And quite frankly, I think that you think that I'm understating it. That's fine. That's why you call up the show. That's why we do what we do. We keep it moving. Good call, Vince. I don't agree with you, but I appreciate the call. 888-808-1019. Mike in Ronkonkoma, home of Sal. What's up, Mikey? How you doing today?
BT, how you doing, man? Love you, buddy.
Thanks, bro. What's up?
This is playoff basketball. I know everyone's counting the Knicks out, and anything could happen in the playoffs. I mean, look, you go back and you see the Giants when they won the Super Bowl in 07 and 11. I mean, they had no business even going to the Super Bowl, and they won both those years.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, the Celtics, obviously, are they a better team than the Knicks? Yeah. And the Knicks haven't beat them all year, which is concerning. But you never know, man. I mean, I'm still on the Knicks bandwagon hard. You know, I got faith in them. You never know what could happen. And if they beat the Celtics and they go to the final, who knows, man?
I agree with that. Now, I don't think they'd beat the Thunder, but again, I don't even want to get into that to dilute the enthusiasm. Listen, Mike, I understand that. I think the thanks for the call. I think the Giants example is different. I mean, and I'm not trying to say that it's easier. Trust me, who am I to say it's easier to win a Super Bowl? My team's never been to one. So I'm not going to say that. I think it's a little, if I can't say easier, I think it's a little more random, maybe, in the NFL in this regard. Like, take Eli's first run. What was that, Tampa? Right, that was at Tampa. That was in Dallas. And then that definitely start Tampa. All right, Tampa and Dallas, right, to start. Because then once you get past, when you get to the championship game, the conference, it's different. But you had to win one game against the Tampa team that nobody was scared of. You had to win one game against a Dallas team that hasn't won since the mid-90s, all right? And to win in the NBA, you know, you've got to beat the defending champion four times, not once. There's no outliers. There's no, wow, what a wacky occurrence. Like, you just have to keep winning. You've got to keep playing high level. Now, I don't think, what is today, May? That's right, Cinco de Mayo. I don't think the Knicks are capable of playing the efficient, consistent, intelligent, buttoned-up basketball required to win a championship for the next 7 weeks. They could barely do it against the Pistons for 1.5 weeks. Like, they're not bringing in new players now. I just think that they're kind of at the end of the road. I mean, what do you want me to say? Let me get Kenny in West Islip. He is a Celtics fan. Let's see if he plays nice here. Kenny.
Yeah, Kenny. I've been a Celtics fan for seven. Hello.
Yeah, I got you, Kenny. Go ahead, bud.
Thanks for taking the call. Yep. I'm 75 years old. I've been a Celtics fan all my life.
Okay.
It goes back to church ball, when I used to play church ball, and Bob Cousy was my idol.
I got you.
So, now, the Knicks maybe will get a win out of this. Mm. I can see the Celtics taking this in five. I mean, they're outnumbered. The bench is too strong for the yep. Celtics. Brunson's amazing, though. I got to give that guy credit, man. He makes shots. It's unbelievable.
He's a beast.
He's a beast, is right.
Yeah, he's a beast.
But they don't match up good. You know what I'm saying? They don't match up good against the Celtics.
I don't think they do. I don't think they match up well. I don't think they match up well against the Thunder. And I'm not even sure about the Cavaliers anymore, despite what happened a year ago in the playoffs previously. I don't think the Knicks really have a really decent chance to even make this a really fun competitive series. Now, maybe, okay, let me, not that I'm even trying to stoke the flames of enthusiasm falsely. I'm never going to do that. But let me at least reach for something that could apply. Maybe it doesn't. Maybe it gets swatted away tonight very quickly. It's like, oof, okay, that possibility has been thwarted. But the one thing that I will say, because the Knicks play the most physical team in the NBA, they are, like, you'd have to think that their physical and their mental and their psychological levels right now are all intersecting. You know what I mean? Like, if they would have just played the Magic, even though the Magic won one game, but just like a conventional lower seed that you just show up and you smoke and there's no resistance, you know, well, that would not have calloused them enough and prepared them enough to be ready for what's coming now, number one. And, you know, because they had to face adversity, because Detroit was surprisingly raucous. Like, I've been to a lot of games at the Palace when I lived there. It was one of my early radio jobs. I've said that before. And I was there when Rick Carlisle was coaching and they were going through that Motown basketball renaissance. Like, they were bad for a while. They had Stackhouse, and then they let him go, and they brought in Chauncey Billups and, you know, Big Ben and that team. Very good defensive team. Then Larry Brown won the championship with Carlisle's team. But I was there then, and the city was on fire. Always a Red Wings town, always a Lions town. But I felt it. I was there every night. I went to every single game. I was doing shows from the Palace. It was fun. But everything that I've heard about the new arena, it's downtown, it just didn't have the juice. And, like, it felt almost intimidating. Like, it was hostile. It really was. So I think it prepared the Knicks for this next round. Rather than just playing a team that's happy to be there, physically not a threat, you know, and you jump on them the first couple of games there, and you're up 37-19 after one, and the crowd doesn't have a chance to get into it. Like, I do believe there's benefits to being pushed to the limits that the way the Pistons pushed the Knicks. Now, if they wouldn't have won Game 6, and it was a Game 7, and let's say the Knicks would have won, and it was a quick turnaround, I think that dissipates a bit, because now the Knicks would have been entering this series tough, heavy legs, maybe mentally beat up a little bit. I do think that they're ready to play tonight. I do. So maybe that's a ray of optimism. Let me get Matt in Pennsylvania. Matt, BT and Sal on the Fan. What's happening, Matt?
Yo, BT, what's up, man? Shout out to Sal. We love you, man.
Yeah, absolutely. Hey,
so
they'll be back Wednesday.
I'm still curious. I'm still curious. What are your thoughts on how we're going to score some points with the non-Brunson minutes? I'm all over the Knicks tonight, +9. We got to come out with our hair on fire tonight. Might be corny or cliche, but I want to rough up Porzingis a little bit. I want a PJ Tucker or a Precious Achiuwa cameo in this series. Should be tonight. But what are your thoughts on, you know, the non-Brunson minutes? How we can score some points?
Well, I don't think there's going to be many non-Brunson minutes, Matt. That's the problem, unless he gets into foul trouble, Matt. You know. And by the way, riding the 9 tonight, not a bad play. If you're looking for a little action on the side, Knicks +9. All right, I feel you on that. Brunson's going to play 40 minutes out of necessity. Knicks bench stinks. They have none. What you said about KP, right? Now, when I ask you, like, and I don't mean to have it devolve into something that is not about basketball. I'm not saying that. But, yeah, I wouldn't mind getting up under his chin, you know? Hard foul, put him on his back. All right, so we all know that would be nice. What Nick is doing that? Who's doing it? I mean, Josh Hart plays really hard, but you can't expect the 6'4 hybrid to be that guy. All right. I think Achiuwa could probably, but I don't know if he's going to play. I mean, I'd like to play. I play him a little bit here. Everybody laughs at me and Boomer when we say Precious Achiuwa. Like, I'm with Booms. I like him. He's got some value. He can run. He can defend. He's 6'8. He can rebound. Like, I think he could help them. That's one of my other issues with Tom Thibodeau, partially. But who's going to do it? Maybe Mitch. I could see Mitch maybe doing it. Karl Anthony Towns is not doing it. He's not that guy. He's just not. He's skilled. You know, he's a good guy. Good man, you know. I don't think he's doing what I'm saying might need to be done. Just don't. They don't even want Brunson being the one to do it. Come on, he's the smallest guy on the court. So who's doing it? Bridges ain't doing it. And OG's not doing it. Who's doing it? That's another one of the issues. 888-808-1019. All right, obviously a big Knick day here. I'm going to throw a little something on the table about the Mets coming up next here. Also, Lombard going to Double-A. Any chance the Yanks, listen, the way they're beat up in certain spots around the infield, Lombard, their number one prospect, who does look different. I know we've said this before, but he does look different. If he ropes it and he just goes nuts at Double-A, you think he gets a look? So those couple things were hitting. So did you hear what was on Gio's, like, on his desk? Like the, we're not at a desk here. What would you call this? Like a...
Nuts.
A console. Thank you. That's what I was looking for. A console at our studios here, right? He comes in and he finds, I guess Steve Summers was doing his pod over the weekend there. I know he launched the pod, so shout out to Steve with that endeavor. FAN royalty forever. And he saw, now this is back to Gio, like remnants of tobacco. All right. I think like coffee sludge, something else. And this is the part, I felt myself getting like the early stages of maybe throwing up. Like just, I don't know why, and I heard this, it just hit me the wrong way, of like a half-eaten fingernail. Oof. Come on, man. What are we doing here? Now, I don't know for sure if it's Steve's. I don't know that, all right? Though, why are you putting on your headsets and grabbing the microphone? Like, what are you earnestly getting ready to defend Steve here? What? Dove is like ready to pounce. Go ahead, Dove.
I did that because Zoo's getting ready to go on the air, and I can't hear you if he puts his mic on.
Oh, did you have something to say? Look like you do.
I will say this. If it's a fingernail, DNA testing is possible.
That's true. But that is probably not very cheap either, so I'm not sure that we would want to do that. You know, I'm the kind of guy, like, I don't know how you guys are. When you go to a restaurant, and I mean a nice restaurant, sometimes there's, unfortunately, a piece of hair. You know, very, very infrequently, but I'm the kind of person, if I see it or if I feel it, no matter, give me a five-star meal at the best restaurant in New York or San Francisco, it doesn't matter. I cannot eat it. And when I heard Greg talk about that, the nail just, that is repulsive, man.
Yeah, my girlfriend is exactly like you. Ugh. We were out the other day, and the first thing she sees is a little hair in the food, sent it back. I was like, oh man, I'm a little bit different because I just try to act like I didn't see anything.
Ugh.
I'm one of those guys. I'm like, please just let's Men in Black this thing, hit me with the flash, and I'll forget about it.
Yeah,
because I don't like to. I don't know. I'm just like, all right, whatever. Like,
well, you're hungry. You're a big guy. Yeah, I think exactly. You bury the lead. You want to eat. You don't care what's in it.
I want to forget that I saw that. I want to eat the food.
Yeah.
But if I saw a Steve Summers cocktail of the tobacco, the fingernails, and everything in there, I don't know. I don't know if I would be able to up that slice of pizza. You know what I mean?
That's rough. Now, to be fair, again, we don't know for sure that is from Steve, although as
allegedly.
Allegedly from Steve, you know. I'm sure somebody else was in there, or maybe somebody else was in there over the weekend. I would imagine that the tobacco remnants, I think that that's a fair guess that they're Steve's. You know, the fingernail, I don't know. And, you know, I've bitten my nails here and there. It's a gross habit, but, like, you have to discard. Like, you can't leave on the console, on a community console. My God. That is just. Oh, the other thing was, yes, this is what it was. It was not coffee grinds. It was a half-used cough drop. So you're doing the show, and, you know, because we do speak, and I don't think Steve talks very loud, but he certainly smokes, and or he did, or whatever, and he's been doing this forever, so the vocal cords go a little bit over time, I guess. So every once in a while, like especially if I coach a lot over the weekend and, you know, like loud from third base, and I'm right back on the air Monday, I might have a cough drop. I know Sal has them once in a while, but I'll finish it, or I'll throw it out. I think it was just sitting there rotting away. So rough look for Gio in the studio today. But speaking of Steve Summers, we all know he loves the Mets. All right, a little transition to the Mets season. We'll get back to the calls. Knicks, Yanks as well. 888-808-1019. Elvis, I don't think it's a big deal that they lost 2 out of 3. I think it's called baseball. You know, I was never under the illusion, even when they got up to the best start in baseball, that the Mets were going to run away and hide and, you know, win 103 games. I think the Mets are good, but I think the Mets, pretty much like every other team, has some issues. And I think theirs are maybe less pronounced than some of the other good teams around baseball, but their bullpen's becoming an issue. And, you know, I don't overreact to losing a couple of the series. Now you want to milk this in the early stage. You don't want to have it morph into something that becomes more problematic because you got the Yankee series coming up, and now you got to go. I think it's going out to where they're going out to Arizona, who just they were just in Queens. The D-backs were they beat them twice, and obviously the rain delay not ideal. You know, losing twice over the weekend, twice, you know, yesterday, getting swept. I just think that the Soto stuff was a little overblown. I mean, very easily would have had a big home run. It was a nice play. He was over the fence. He hit a lot of hard balls. I mean, some of his exit velo numbers are ridiculous. 113, 111, 107, 109. He's absolutely smoking the ball. Oh, what was the stat? God, I heard this. Hold on. Okay. Was this the number? The batting average for Pete Alonso on balls that were hit over 100 miles an hour is right now 700, okay? Juan Soto's batting average for balls that are surpassing the 100 exit velo level is 400. That's 300 points. So what does that mean? A little bad luck, which is kind of what I've been saying. It doesn't mean that you got to love his start here. I get it. And he's going to probably, when it's all said and done, you know, the numbers are going to look a little lagging based on what you thought you were going to see year one in Queens. But I don't think it's been quite as bad as some of you have made it out. A little frustrating, yeah. Not as bad as maybe some people think. But I also don't think the Mets are as, you know, unstoppable maybe as some of you think. I think they're a good team. I think they're a playoff team. I think they're a well-managed team. And it's a great start for Pete, who, by the way, player of the month. How about that? All the stuff with Pete, having to wait. Is he going to stay? Is he going to go? What's going on? And Pete comes out, and he just has, I mean, if Aaron Judge wasn't in the city, I mean, Pete would steal every headline the way he's played so far. He's been terrific. And then, you know, the thing with him is, all right, 2 years. I see, I don't think that there's anything that he can do that's going to really change. I don't think the ability for him to get that deal that he wants to get from the Mets, maybe it convinces somebody else around baseball. I think they're pretty rooted in how they view him. Stearns, maybe less about Cohen, because Cohen's probably more emotional with Steve, with Pete. But I don't think, even if he keeps this up, and I said going into the season and only felt better about this, I think Pete's going to be top three in the MVP. And I definitely believe that. And even if that happens, I don't think it changes what the Mets will do from contractually. But you know what? I don't really jump into that right now. They're looking pretty good despite the last couple of series. But it wasn't a great weekend for both teams. You know, you got to see some of the holes for both the Yanks and the Mets. 888-808-1019. Again, Eric in Rivervale. Eric, BT and Sal, what's up?
BT, how are you, brother?
I'm good. What's going on, man?
Flying solo, great show, and looking forward to Sal getting back tomorrow. Hope all's well with him.
I think it's Wednesday, but Wednesday. Sal's coming back Wednesday. Yep.
Oh, rock and roll. Yep. Rock and roll. Well, the best in his family.
No doubt.
Questions were, well, as it relates to the Yanks, man. I don't know if you thought what I did when I saw the lineup behind Will Warren yesterday, which was before the game even started. I knew it was over.
I didn't like it at all.
What are we doing? Ugh. It was awful. Awful. And I mean, and right out of the gate, Will Warren dishes it up and we're down 7-0 before I can even, you know, get my feet up. It was insane. So it just opened up a lot of questions for me on what this team does and all of the blemishes that the team had before the season started. I mean, if it wasn't for Aaron Judge and even almost more importantly, which sounds insane to say, Max Fried, this team would be probably in last place in the AL East. I mean, who knows, but it would be bad. I mean, we're hovering around 500 as it is, with Max Fried, who's the best pitcher in baseball, and Aaron Judge, who's the best player in baseball. I mean,
I know.
That's incredible.
I know.
It's scary for me as a Yankee fan. Like, even with Volpe and Jazz, you know, and the injuries, like, okay, but those guys weren't great before they were injured. Those guys were the biggest problem in the lineup. Mm-hmm. So, I don't know. Who's to say that J.C. Avaria, you know, some of these guys that are, you know, that they're trying to give a shot don't turn out better. I mean, it seemed like Volpe might be turning the corner before he got hurt. And I don't know what the deal is with that injury. Because when they said he said to himself that he heard something pop. Yep. And they're just like, meh, it'll only be a couple of days. I'm like, I don't know, man. If something pops, I have to imagine it's more than a couple of days.
Now, listen, sometimes I thought the same thing, Eric. Sometimes, that's what they call, buddy, scar tissue pops. But I don't think he's had any procedures there. And he's certainly young where I don't think that scar tissue should be popping. So I saw it. I'm like, that's not exactly what I want to hear. He heard it pop. It seems like they're not incredibly concerned, but, you know, we've seen in this city where we have one thought on somebody's physical condition and he's out a lot longer than, and you know, it's happened to the Yankees. It's happened with DJ. Used to happen to the Mets a lot back in the day. Remember, their doctors would get crushed, whether it was Reyes' hamstrings and a multitude of other things. I don't know. I just think that, that lineup was not what I was looking to see yesterday. And, you know, listen, Will Warren's got to start pitching better. I mean, I'm not going to devote a ton of time to Will Warren on the show here, but he is a starting pitcher for the New York Yankees, and he's not really giving his team much of a chance to win. It's going to be the next time he takes the baseball, it's basically going to be the middle of May, and his ERA is a lot closer to 6 than it is 5. You know, 28 innings, a lot of hits, a lot of earned runs, a lot of walks. His whip is 1.5, which is ridiculously high. So, and Luis Gil, I don't think, is going to be back until mid-July. So this is one of the reasons why I really thought that the Yankees would be in a dogfight for this division. And I said it. I'm like, I did not feel incredibly confident before the year that the Yanks would win the division. I think I said, I don't know. I said, I think there'll be a playoff team. I feel pretty good about that. I went slightly over on the 90.5 win total. Now, it helps that the Orioles pitching stinks and the Rays just don't have enough, and Toronto doesn't have enough, whatever you don't think. Boston has some talent, but they had a big injury over the weekend. Their first baseman went down. So I don't really know who's going to chase the Yankees and beat them to the division. you know, to the division title, but it doesn't mean that they don't have a lot of holes. They definitely do. Absolutely, they have holes. They have a lot. I mean, basically the entire infield is a hole right now, except Goldschmidt at first base. Second's an issue. Third's an issue. Volpe, I do think he's turning the corner. I know he has swung the bat better lately, but before that, he was an issue with the bat, and now he could be an issue with the shoulder. So basically the entire infield is a problem. So we got 7 o'clock tonight in Boston, Wednesday, 7 o'clock there. Now this is going to be more of a me problem, depending upon how old your kids are. It could be a you problem as well. Saturday, game 3 at the Gardens at 3:30. I mean, for me, you can't have a worse time. You can't have a worse time. I mean, I'm going to be up to my neck with travel baseball and softball with my daughter. That's going to be tough. See, the one thing, and I used to be pretty good at this because I think there's a couple of reasons why I changed. But for a while, I was able to, like, record stuff and not get a sense of what happened. Really, I don't know how. It's not fun, but when I'm at the games with the kids, whether I'm watching or coaching, I don't need to check my phone incessantly. I don't. Now, it's also easier when I'm coaching because now I'm away from, you know, fans of the parents of our kids, but also the parents of the other kids. Like, there's a gate. I can kind of just do my thing and not really have conversations. But it's going to be really hard not to have somebody say, Knicks look great in the first quarter. That's what stinks. And I'll just give them a all right, here we go. Or, dude, what happened? Knicks are getting their face kicked in. Oh, my God. Thibs got to go. I hate that. When I jump through hoops to keep it secret, and then somebody spoils the fun. Where's the etiquette? Don't they know? No, they can't possibly know that. All right, let's get back to the calls here. 888-808-1019 is the number. Let me get Bruce in Flushing. What's up, Bruce?
Hey, BT. Two Hi. Yankee points and a point about Thibs.
Go ahead.
First on the Yankees. I don't understand the explanation Aaron Boone gave about not pinch hitting for a scarer in the bottom of the eighth inning. You have bases loaded, and his explanation was, well, it was too early in the inning. It was later in the inning. The bottom line is, Escarra's hitting 197. He's a nice story. He's hitting 197. You had Wells, who you could easily put in. He played in the top of the ninth, so you know it wasn't physical.
Yeah.
I don't understand why he didn't put Wells in for Escarra.
No, I mean, in the grand scheme of things, I'm not saying that you're wrong, but I mean, that's a little speck of speck in the Yankee universe. Like, there's other things that I think I'm a little more concerned about.
I understand that, but it didn't make any sense.
Okay.
Second point.
Yep.
You can't survive in this rotation with both Warren and Carrasco in your rotation. So I'm going to propose a trade for you. I'm not doing this because I think it's time to break the glass. Mm-hmm. Williams, I'm not trading Williams because I don't think he's going to be good. Of course he's going to be good. But it's more easily to replace Williams in the bullpen than it is in the starting rotation.
Yeah.
So I would call the Phillies, who bullpen is horrible, trade Williams to the Phillies to Tajon Walker, who's now walking out of the bullpen. Have the Phillies pick up $8-9 million.
Bruce getting in the weeds here, Bruce. Bruce is coming with the minutia. Look at Bruce. He's dialed in midseason form, buddy. Well, I don't know.
It's a rotation. You're not going to get the rookie till June or
Bruce,
July.
Let me ask you a question, Bruce. So you've been calling the station forever, right?
Yeah.
Forever. Now, I love your passion. Like, all right, I'm not going to lie to you. Yankees lost yesterday. Of course I wanted to win, but I'm like, all right, well, really, in the grand scheme, whatever. Do you have a rough time going to sleep after a regular season Yankee loss?
Yes.
Wow. That's actually impressive. Like, that's impressive to me. Good for you. There's just so many games, and, you know, you don't want to assume playoffs, but it's kind of hard not to, even though I think the Yankees have some holes. You know, it's a little presumptuous there, but I mean, I did that like with Mattingly. I just, a regular season loss in early May? I'm not saying I don't respect it. I'm just not necessarily wired that way now. This is Knicks time. Dave's in the Jersey Shore, on the shore. What's up, Davey?
Hey, WT, great show as usual.
Thanks, buddy.
You know, before I get to my point, what you said about Soto hitting the ball and just not having luck. Mm-hmm. I said that last week, and I guess I was wrong with how you and Sal were trying to explain it, but if I was happy, but you really put me down, whatever.
Well, I'd put you down like make fun of you, or just put you down.
Yeah, like I didn't know what I was talking about, whatever.
I don't think we meant to do that. Listen, I thought he was swinging the bat well the last couple of weeks, and
I don't know if you remember, I said he was hitting the ball, just not getting any luck right at people. Like, look at that home run yesterday. But anyway, the Knicks, you're absolutely right. They need a really good coach. For them to, you were saying, who's going to step up? I think the whole team, as a team, have to rely on each other and be there for each other, hit the open man, and when you're open and you have an open shot, try to make it, at least 90% of it. And one thing, the free throws. I mean, they're not making free, these guys are professionals. I played the junior varsity in Brooklyn at SDR, and we had these guys that never missed a foul shot. These guys are making millions of dollars. If they hit the foul shots 100% and hit the open man and once in a while do a full court press and do the unexpected, and something might happen. You know what I mean? That's what a good coach would.
Yeah, I mean, I hear you. I mean, listen, you're not going to start picking them up full court press, man. Now, I'll give you an example. Like, St. John's would do it once in a while. Patino this year, right? Now, when Rick was at Providence and Rick was at other, he would do it really to turn you over. I think the way he does it now, it's to tire you out and just to let you have less time to get in your offensive set. So, all right, you want to tell me that there's value in, even if it's like a token press, show a little press early and, have them work the extra 6, 7, 8 seconds to get the ball where they want to get to so they can initiate the offense. And now they're a little rushed and maybe the extra pass might not be there. Yeah, I'm okay with that. I mean, but number one, they only play 7 guys anyway. In terms of, really 5 guys, big minutes. So you can't do that. I mean, it's one thing to play him as much as you do. It's another thing to play him as much as you do and now say, oh, yeah, by the way, now go and do more than you've ever done by pressing 94 feet. So you want to tell me you want to have, dudes? And you see this once in a while, like, balls inbound and pick them up right away, 94 feet. Yeah, even if it's not with the intent to turn you over, just to kind of throw a little bit of a change up? Yeah, but I think you get that once in a while anyway. Gus is in Ridgewood. Gus, what's happening?
BT, it's such a pleasure to speak with you as always, my brother. How are you?
I'm good, man. I'm fired up for tonight. I'm good. How about you?
Same over here. All the best to Sal. Can't wait to see you back on Wednesday. Can't wait to hear you. But I came to bring in some positive energy. Like I told you last week, I made that first prediction with you. As you remember, Knicks in 7. I'm very, very confident about that.
Yep.
I'm very much looking forward to this series, and I'm looking forward to Karl Anthony Towns taking it to Kristaps Porzingis. But before you let me go, I got one question for you.
Yeah.
Do you care where you sit in an arena when you're at a playoff game?
Do myself? Me?
Yeah.
I think it depends. I took my son to the Yankees World Series game. I don't know if I'd want to be in the top tank where, maybe a little more drunk. So in long-winded, not me, I mean those around me, the language, I am now at the age where I want space and I want comfort. So I guess it does matter to me now. At one point, it never did. Why?
That's fair. That's fair. I respect that. Being in the music industry, I prefer having a little more space myself instead of being in a pit whenever I'm at a electronic music production like EDC or Ultra or something like that. So I get that completely.
Yeah.
But the reason why I was asking, the only reason why I was asking was because I was going to ask if on a whim I was going to buy tickets for the game just now to go up to Boston. And my cousins aren't available, so I was going to ask if you wanted to take the ride tonight and roll out.
Oh, man. Listen, Gus, that's really generous. I can't. I got to let you bounce. Thank you. I can't, and I just got too much going on. My son's got baseball at 5. I can't. Very, very generous and very, very cool. I appreciate the sentiment, but I can't swing it. But listen, I'll tell you the other thing now, Gus. If you would have asked me more directly, I think that's the wrong question, although now I know why you asked me that. Does it matter where I sit? No, but I would rather sit on my couch. I'd almost rather be on my couch than behind the Knick bench. Honestly, got to go to the bathroom, get up, go to the bathroom. Walk in from baseball or softball or during the winter, football or basketball, record it, start at my own, you know, leisure. Fast forward through the commercials. I have become very much a, like, watch it. Like, my wife's the exact opposite. She's a huge Cowboys fan. She drives me nuts. Like, she can't, if it's not live, she gets all flustered. I don't care when it is, as long as I don't know what's going on, which I'm usually able to do. And to me, it's almost like I'm chasing the ability to sit down and instead of sitting there for 2.5 hours, sitting there for an hour and 20, about an hour and 20, and just blow through. I don't care about the head. No disrespect to Wally and Alan. I love those guys, and I know Alan really well. I like them. Bill Pito, I don't need to watch the halftime show. No, I know it's not even on MSG now anyway, but the games. I don't need to watch Perk and, I don't know, Steven. I don't care what they have. I watch the game. I don't need 3 seconds of nothing. Give me the game, I guess is what I'm saying. I'm getting the timeouts on here. I got you, Dovey. 888-808-1019. BT and Sal on the Fan.